Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FPI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights. And today I'm going to be speaking with Dina Celano, director, and Julie Taiwo Oni, playwright, whose play Nat and M is currently playing at the Alexandria in downtown LA. Julie Taiwo Oni attended Pepperdine University and received a BA in creative writing as well as an MFA in dramatic writing through USC's School of Dramatic Art. Her play Tether was a finalist in the Inkwells Incubator Festival in Washington, D.C. and had a production with Doorway Arts Ensemble in Maryland. She's participated in the last three seasons of LA Views with Company of Angels as a member of the Playwrights Group, and her short play Day's Pay was presented by Movable Peace for the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Her new play, Bunk, will be produced at Son of Semele Ensemble's Company Creation Festival in January 2014. She teaches English composition, comparative literature, and culture at the New York Film Academy. Dina Celano received her BFA in drama from New York University's Playwrights Horizons Theater School and the Experimental Theater Wing, and her MFA in directing from California Institute for the Arts. She's a theater director and performance curator currently based in Los Angeles, and has directed theater, opera, puppetry, and site-specific performance in Los Angeles at Highways Performance Space, Red Cat, the Alexandria, Cal Arts, and in New York at venues such as New York Theater Workshop, Dixon Place, the Workshop Theater, Clemente Sotovela Center, the Flamboyant Theater, NYU, and various other locations in Brooklyn, Harlem, and Lower Manhattan. She's the recipient of the 2006 Baryshnikov Art Center Multidisciplinary Artist Fellowship, the 2009-2010 New York Theater Workshop Emerging Artist of Color Directing Fellowship, and was a participant in the Walt Disney Imagineering CalArts Educational Initiative. Wow, you guys. So welcome to Julie and Dina.
Hi.
Hello.
Today we're going to talk about Nat and M, although that was a mouthful of all your accomplishments. Congratulations. Nat and M is a totally imagined piece from start to finish as a love story between Nat King Cole and Emily Dickinson. So I just wanted to start out by talking a little bit about where that idea sprang from, Julie, and how it was developed into the work you're staging now.
Yeah, when I first kind of had the idea for the play, I was reading kind of a lot of experimental stuff, and I wanted to find a way to do something kind of interesting with language. So I don't really know how the idea came to me, but I just thought, oh, it would be really cool if I had a story where I had two characters that all their language was just based on a particular, you know, lyrics from a song or a poem. So that was just kind of a starting point for me. And the first person I thought of that I knew I would have to use was Nat King Cole, just because he's one of my dad's favorite singers, and I've always really liked kind of the simplicity of his lyrics. So I remember I called my dad, and I was like, Dad, which song should I use? I'm going to have Nat King Cole as a character. And he told me, well, it will have to be Mona Lisa. So I chose that, and from there I was just trying to decide, okay, how am I going to get the second piece? So I figured the first one was a song. It would be interesting to choose a poem to kind of pair with that. So I just started looking through different poets I liked, and I just was really fascinated by using Emily Dickinson just because the image of her that we have is just so interesting, and the style of her poetry, I feel like it's so unique. So I kind of like the challenge of trying to craft dialogue for a character in the style of an Emily Dickinson poem. So what I ended up doing was, as I was writing the piece, I just had kind of, you know, pasted on my wall one of each of the pieces, and that was how I created their dialogue. So for both of the characters, all of the language that they use in the play is just language that's from those two pieces.
Well, you mentioned being fascinated with the words and language, and it struck me that the words and language play a really big part in this play, kind of more so than other works. The two main characters are also joined by a third character known as the scribe, but they find themselves a little bit confined by a certain set of words. So I wondered how this choice for you as a playwright helped the work become fuller and richer overall.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. When I started writing the play, you know, some people might have like a whole outline beforehand of how they plan to structure it, but I actually didn't even know that it was really going to become a love story when I first wrote it. I just had these two characters and I just kind of, you know, was playing it out to see what was going to happen. And I think that as far as what ended up happening, it was just kind of inevitable because you have these two people who are connected by the struggle and the challenge of their language. So it just seemed like it made sense that that would be something that would unite them, that they would kind of fall for each other because they had this connection that nobody else could understand.
It also strikes me that Nutnam, a little bit at least, somehow talks about the idea of being mixed race within one person, and all the idea of mixed race couples as well. Mm-hmm. I wondered how these two characters from the past, in your mind, maybe comment on the present time for people of mixed descent or interracial couples.
Yeah, that's something that I've definitely, over in the past couple drafts and since I've been working with Dina, I've kind of developed a lot more in the story. Originally, in previous drafts of the play, I was definitely focused on the interracial love story, and that connection is just kind of through my parents who met and were married in the 1970s. So kind of the point of the play is how now looking at interracial relationships is so much more common, and we don't really think about the fact that, you know, back in that time it was something that was really, really frowned upon and was so much more of a challenge for the couple. So that kind of ended up coming about in the first draft I had of the play, but adding in the scribe character, who is a newer character, it kind of allowed me to, in a very, you know, contemporary way, comment on that situation from a contemporary perspective as well, because yes, we understand that in the times of Nat King Cole and Emily Dickinson, obviously there was a lot of, you know, racial issues going on, civil war, you know, civil rights movement, but I think that looking at it from a modern perspective shows that, you know, this is something that is really, we're seeing the results of that now. And Dina also, she could probably talk to you a little bit about that because she has kind of a connection to this part of the story too.
Sure, yeah. Let's hear Dina's thoughts.
Hi. That was the big draw for me in the beginning when I joined the project. First off, just the poetry of this imagined romance alone is just so intriguing. And that it wasn't as simple as story of white woman and black man, but it was these people were separated literally by time also, and the metaphor of that, of just the space between people and cultures and those experiences. And also, I am from a mixed-race background. My father is Jewish and from the Bronx, and my mother is black and from Columbus, Ohio. And they met in New York City and in the 70s also, and had a lot of really alarming and surprising stories with that. So that is one of the things that intrigued me about Julie's play, because in a way, when I was reading it, I was seeing almost her imagination of her own parents and how a young person imagines their own parents' romance and both romanticizes it but also questions it. A lot about the characters of Nutnam, one of the most interesting things I find is it's not just about their strengths of coming together. It really isn't that. That's kind of the surface level of it. But what it really is two people who are even so blinded by love that they're even putting limitations on themselves and assumptions about what other people think of them when that actually might not actually be the case. They talk about they and the world and in a very general way that at the end they realize that they've been overgeneralizing too. Mm-hmm. And they find that through this mixed-race scribe character who pretty much reveals herself as their progeny and teaches them that not only, yes, are they brave for doing this, but they also need to now think towards the future of this new world that they're in and actually accept that they're in that world. And it's more about, it's than just about them, and they can't really hide their head in the sand anymore.
Mm. Well, the play was developed at USC's MFA Dramatic Writing Program and was originally directed by Luis Alfaro. How did the development process play out for you?
Yeah, it was good. It was interesting. It was a completely different script, so I had another character. So this draft has become kind of much more of a comedy. At that time, it was a tragedy, and it was the third character was this woman who basically was trying to tear them apart. So it was like this tragic love story. So it was interesting working with Luis on it, because what ended up happening in that production was at USC we couldn't find a black male actor to play Nat King Cole. So we ended up casting a white guy, and then we had to put him and the black woman in blackface. And then, and was wearing white face, so it was so it was still talking about all of the racial elements, but it had kind of that other level, and I can definitely say that was probably Luis's idea. He always likes to try and, you know, push for the controversy of things, but I mean, we needed that, though, because we literally didn't have any black actors audition for us, so we ended up. So that really changed, and that's what made, I mean, that was still really interesting, just seeing it. I mean, that was the beginning of when I had worked on the script, so it was interesting just to see, you know, can actors actually learn these lines of, like, what might sound at first read like random gibberish until you read through a couple times and realize that, you know, there is intention behind the pairings of the words. So it was interesting to be able to kind of see them. It was just, you know, it was a workshop, but it was interesting to see that, okay, yeah, it's something that can be done. You can definitely get the visual of the story, even though you might not completely follow exactly every line that's being said. I think I learned a lot from that. But there, I mean, this experience with the current production has just been, you know, obviously much closer to what I envisioned when I first wrote the story. We do have a black actor this time who is just an amazing Nat King Cole, Christopher Hampton. So it's been really interesting to see how, you know, working with Company of Angels, I'm kind of really able to visualize kind of more of what I had in my head writing the story.
And how did you end up finding Dina?
Should I tell her? Should you, Dina?
I do, but I want to hear yours.
Well, it was just kind of, it's funny because I've been at Company of Angels in the playwrights group since I finished grad school, so about 4 years now, and I had done a couple of readings of Matt and Em there, but, you know, nothing more than that. So when we decided, okay, we're going to do a production of it, they said, okay, are there any directors that you have in mind? And so I just was like, well, I don't know. There's a lot of directors that I would like, but I doubt that they're going to want to direct this crazy play. And so, like, the first person that was on my list was Natasha Garrett. I had seen a production of Neighbors of hers, and it really seemed like it was very similar to what kind of the world that I would like to create. So I felt like she seemed like the ideal person if I could think of anyone who was in L.A., so I had gotten in touch with her, and she was interested but busy, and so she said, oh, she knows exactly the person who would be good for the project. And so that's when she kind of got me in contact with Dina. And it worked out perfectly.
It did.
How has the collaboration been so far?
It's been good. It's been really great. Nataki emailed me one day and said, oh, hi, I'm supposed to do this piece, but I my schedule doesn't allow, because she's the associate dean of the theater school at CalArts, and that's how she and I know each other. So she emailed me and said, I think you'll be good for this project. Do you want to need to pass your name along? I said, sure. And so then Julie and I had our first conversation. We were on the phone forever and ever and ever, and just having really honest talks about our experiences, about the play, about the intentions, about why those characters, what is she saying? And I have to say, for me, this has been a really unique and special experience, because I've never worked with another mixed-race primary artist before. Mm-hmm. And so that actually has been really exciting because I often feel in conversations about pieces and a lot of my work, whether the straightforward subject matter or not, has to do with race, some sort of the reality of the performers and mixed with the fiction of the play is always what I'm interested in. I like to challenge racial and gender norms in my pieces. So it was really exciting being in conversation with someone where for the first time ever I wasn't an outsider at all in the conversation. And so that was really great with Julie. We have very different experiences, but I finally met someone that I'm collaborating with that we're from the same culture, really.
Excellent. Well, Leslie, I like to always ask what people are up to next. I know you're running here in L.A. through November 24th, and then what's next for you guys?
I'm starting, I think you mentioned that in my bio, or I think I put it in there, but I'm working with Son of Simile Ensemble on a new piece that's called Bunk. It's throughout the course of the play, there's these two guys working construction that are going to build the bunk bed on set. And it's another story kind of about cultural, you know, miscommunication, which is a theme that I'm really interested in. So it's a story about a Nigerian man and an African-American man, and they're, you know, they're working together to build this bunk bed. So I'm really, my father's from Nigeria, so I've always been kind of fascinated by kind of the tensions between Africans and African-Americans, which I feel like a lot of people don't really know a lot about. So that's kind of what I'm dealing with for that play. I'm very excited.
Excellent. How about you, Dina?
Well, I'm going to continue working with two collaborators of mine, Genevieve Gearhart and composer-musician Paul Fraser, on a series of Talk Greek tragedy events that we started at CalArts in the spring and then kept developing. And we did a piece about Justin Timberlake and the women of practice by Sophocles at Highways this summer, followed by a piece called Toxicos we created based on Britney Spears' Toxic and Philip Pitti by Sophocles, which we performed at Red Cat Manal Festival. So we're moving on to the third piece in the trilogy and continuing development on that.
Well, sweet. Congratulations on all that stuff, and congratulations on Nat Nim. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me today, and I hope you have a great run.
You
Thank
too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nat Nim runs at the Alexandria in downtown L.A. through November 24th and stars Christopher Hampton, Emma Green, and Melissa Donaher. For more information about tickets, please go to www.ovationtix.com/trs/cal/29315, or you can just go to the Ovation Tix and search Nat and M. For more information about LA FBI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafbi.com.